Hey guys, it's Mark Potter again. Welcome to another episode of Brushstrokes, a podcast powered by Canvas Magazine. Guys, today's guest is Linda Bishop. You all may be familiar with her as a sales guru, author, writer for Canvas Magazine, but I best know her as one of my very, very dear friends. She is as thoughtful, as passionate, and determined a person that I've ever met. She works extremely hard. She is over the top in terms of her dedication to our industry and the people within it. And I believe she's got a solid group of clients that absolutely love her. She has a remarkable history of selling print specifically, and she sold a lot of it. And so her insight is not only valuable from the perspective that she's authored books and she has studied relentlessly, she's also lived it. So she is not only a good friend, but she is someone who is the perfect advisor to our industry. So without further ado, I would like to bring to you a snippet of our conversation and a reminder that our podcast is sponsored today by Conduit Incorporated. Visit www.conduit-inc.com for all of your custom content needs. Here's a listen to my conversation with Linda. Linda Bishop.
Hey, Mark.
How are you?
Happy Monday to you. Good.
Let me apologize up front for my raspy voice. My son and I were at the Stanley Cup Final Game 6 last night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, wow.
And we were fortunate that our team came up on top, so we were doing a little yelling. And so happy to have the rasp in my voice this morning.
That's great, though.
Yeah, so. Pretty cool. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
And you got a lot going on. You got, tell me about your son.
So my son is, after he graduated from UGA, he eventually joined the Army and went in as an enlisted man because he wanted to be an Army Ranger. So he made it through basic training. Now he made it through airborne school, and his next stop is Ranger school. So he's very happy.
That is so cool. I think that's, I mean, and you guys are, you know, over the moon proud, right?
We are.
That's great. I love it. Well, how are things? How's the world treating you?
Business is going great. I hope it's the same for you.
Yeah, it's a different day, you know, as you and I have talked 1,000 times. Well, remember we did that sales meeting thing years ago?
Sure, world tour.
Oh my gosh. You know, I'll never forget being on the plane. We talked on those trips. Remember that? And then I'll never forget, I think at the end of our trip, we were at baggage claim, and we were still talking, and we were still philosophizing and solving all the world's troubles. And you and I looked at each other, and the two of us, I mean, we looked like we were so exhausted. We were like mentally spent. And I think we looked at each other like, I can't do it anymore. I can't talk anymore. I mean, my mind, it was too much. But that's the beauty. I mean, that's why I've been blessed to have you as a friend. And, you know, from the moment I launched Canvas, I met you and you know, you've certainly been really, really good to me. But I think the fact that to find somebody who's as passionate and thoughtful about the industry and stays up at night worrying and thinking about, you know, where's this thing going, and It's a big deal. So with that, where do you think this thing's going? What tell me, you know, you've got, we'll get a little bit into your history in a few minutes, but you know, what do you think's changed? What's the most dramatic change that you've seen over the last 5-10 years?
I think it is on the customer side. You are selling to people who have very little time, who are continually being asked to do more with less.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the old, hey, I just want to stop by and see you. Hey, I just wanted to check in. Hey, I just wanted to follow up and see how we looked on that quote. If you do not bring more value to your relationships, basically people just ignore you until they need you.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Right. Yeah. I think that's exactly right. I think it's there's so much power, right, with the consumer, whether it's in the B2C world or the B2B, that I don't know that we're necessarily smarter. I don't know that we're, you know, we're more thoughtful, but we're certainly more informed with all of the technology. And I think that based on that, we can TiVo our way through life. And so you're right. They don't need the distraction of being called or the door knocked on. You've got to create something around. You got to create this world where they find you. And so that's hard. It's harder than ever. But on the flip side, the positive piece that I see is that the need for a more intimate engagement is greater than ever before, right? It's just, how do you get there? And so you've always been a proponent of, when I think of you, I think of a couple things. Certainly I think about thoughtfulness, but I also think about hard work. You make me think of hard work. I know that your success was a combination of those two things, or has been a combination of those two things. And so, but you've always told the people that you consult with and coach, and you know, part of it is just the diligence with which you go after stuff. But it's harder to do today. So what kind of advice are you starting to give people today about, yes, you still have to work hard, you still have to make those calls, you still have to make those touch points, but how has that changed at all?
Well, I think it goes back to what I said about clients having less time, Mark. So if people have less time, you have to be more effective in both getting their attention and, when you have their attention, giving them something that creates enough mind share and anchors you firmly in their consideration set, so that they think of you when they are finally ready to buy, if it is not today. With that being said, taking time to think is a sales advantage in the world today. People get very frantic about their doing. Oh my God, I need to call these people. Oh my God, I haven't seen Bob in a month. Oh my God, I haven't heard from Susie in 6 months. Mm-hmm. People get very frantic because they don't have the skill set to get people's attention, is what it really comes down to. And so if you can stop and think for a few minutes, your whole day will go better. I'm going to give you an example of that, because one big conversation I've had with a lot of sales professionals is about time management. And often I think it's really not about time management that's the problem. It's about priority management that is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So this morning, it's Monday. I have a lot of things to schedule. And essentially, I needed to schedule meetings with 11 people this morning. The traditional sales methodology for doing that is to send out 11 emails, hey, can we meet this week?
Right.
Which doesn't really allow you to control your time. For me, I looked at those, and on my calendar, I blocked two times for each of the people that I needed to see, and sent each of them an email with an AB, could you meet at 10 o'clock on Tuesday or 11 o'clock on Wednesday email.
Right.
It allows people to respond easier, but it also, that few minutes of thinking, it basically took me 30 minutes of my day to organize my schedule, but it's a lot more efficient than 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, and before you know it, you've spent 2 hours, and most of it was unproductive because you were going back and forth with people trying to figure out a time to meet.
Right. Yeah.
So let me ask this, because you and I talk a lot about better ways to frame up problems, better ways to get things done, better ways to be more productive, be mm-hmm. more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the side you get sold to every day because you run a company.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that salespeople do wrong when they're trying to contact a busy person like you, Mark?
Well, I think one of the things, I don't know if it's that they do wrong. I could say,
let's just call it doing it wrong. If it doesn't work, it's doing it wrong.
I mean, because it manifests itself. It comes back to their motivation. That comes back to, for me, at least, a level of sincerity. I told the story probably 1,000 times, and I probably told it to you. I remember a few years ago, I would have this salesperson, this print salesperson, calling me, and they would call me, you know, every other month or quarterly or whatever, and they literally would say stuff like, hey, they might leave a message. They might say, hey, we've got high quality printing at great prices, and we've got fabulous customer service. And I thought, ooh, geez, you know, where do I, you know, I better call this guy back. That's amazing. And so, and then the same guy got in touch with me, and I asked him a question. I said, well, so you read the magazine? And he said, well, no, I haven't actually read the magazine yet or seen, you know. And I said, oh, okay, well, you've been to the website. And he said, no, I actually haven't. And I thought, go to the website. And so part of it is when our wallet drives, and it does, it's such a tough thing in this day and age where our wallet drives our activity, that we're making these calls, it's hard. We all know what everybody wants. And yet, there's got to be a sincerity. There's got to be a level of purpose to what we're doing. And when you engage with someone, you know, you're saying, look, I just feel like I'd love to get to know you better, or I'd like to know your business better. I'd like to understand, or I feel like we truly have something that might have some merit for you. So part of it is just historically we've been dialing for dollars, and you know, with the customer base being so informed, it's like we have to be kind of in a no BS world now, that there has to be a level of sincerity. And that's the toughest part. Is so I find a lot of my clients, I was with a client last night at the hockey game, and I mean, I consider him a friend. I mean, there's a level of an engagement or intimacy that has happened over time. So I don't know. Maybe it's patience. Maybe it's, I don't know. It's hard because we all know what the other one wants, but yet, how do you unsell? How do you say, look, I'm really just want to do the right things. I want to serve you. And the money will take care of itself. I don't know. Maybe that's too saintly and a little bit naive. What do you think?
Well, I think if you do not operate in the customer's best interest, then eventually it's going to come around to bite you, you know, because people will see that. They will know that you sloughed something off, or that you didn't tell them something that you should have told them, or that you didn't watch their back when you should have, or that you caused them to spend more money just because it was good for you, but not necessarily for them. Now, just because you have to operate in the customer's best interest doesn't mean that you shouldn't also operate in the best interests of your company, because that is where I think sales plays the critical role. They are in the three legs of the stool, the customer, the company, and sales. It's sales that has to help balance out everybody's best interests so that people are happy on both sides. Because over the long run, salespeople do not succeed if they have happy customers and an unhappy boss, or a happy boss and customers who do not stick around and stay with them. Just like you said, you don't have long-term relationships. I also think it's always important to remember that long-term relationships are built over time on a foundation of trustworthiness and competence. And people can like you but not really trust you or think you're competent. People can think you're trustworthy and competent and not really like you, but still probably buy more than Mr. or Ms. likable, but where everybody questions their motives. So, but at the end of the day, I also think this: you can be the most sincere person on the planet, but if you are not competent at your craft, which is selling, it is a craft. It is both a science and an art, but it is a craft. If you are not competent at your craft, I think today's busy clients have very little patience. They are no one wakes up looking for more friends, you know, in the business world. They're looking for somebody who can help them. And over time, like you said, if you earn that position where somebody realizes you are putting their best interests at heart and in your communications with them, Mark, then they might become your friend or more than just a business partner. Right. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that you're absolutely right. I like the idea around competence and I agree. I don't think people are looking for new friends. I do think that all things being equal, there is a underlying interest in safety / trust, you know, that comes from relationships. A relationship could be, look, it may be, hey, we don't love the same extracurricular stuff, or we don't have the same sense of humor, but boy, my gosh, I really, really trust this person to get stuff done. And so there is, or I know that this person simply cares about what they're doing and has a drive to serve others, that they know that they're going to leave this world a better place by going to bat for others, running through a wall for them. I think that's the number one thing. And we live in a world right now that, let's face it, it is a unique time. And some might say it's the one of the scariest times, believe it or not, because it is has so many different variables. And the job market is in tremendous flux and may remain in flux for a very long time. And so I totally believe that it's kind of that fine line. You're exactly right. You're not looking for the best guy or gal to hang out with. But there is a relationship piece that swings it, right? That is ultimately, with everything being equal, there's just a trustworthiness, or I feel safer with this person, or yeah, I do like this person better, so I'm going with this person. So it's just, in my opinion, it's just harder to get there. And what you're saying is part of getting there is developing competence. Part of it is, let's talk a little bit more about that sales competence, because that there's some things that will never change in terms of the selling process, but there's other things in terms of how we get there. It used to be, hey, I could go door to door. I could make a million cold calls. I could just go through a list. And today, it goes back to a little bit more about this competence. What makes a salesperson competent today is a little bit different. There is a lot of research. There is a lot of, hey, I got to be in the specific markets or at the specific events that my target clients are going to be at. I've got to show a real knowledge and understanding of their business. And so isn't it a little bit more, like you say, craft? I think it's even more crafty. I think it's even the demand on the salesperson today to be even more sophisticated than ever before, I think is great. Am I wrong?
No, I think it goes back to, if you're looking specifically at printing, and you and I talk about a lot of different industries when you and I talk about sales and marketing, but when you're looking specifically at printing, for a long, long time, people had a lot of needs. So they had they needed transactional help on a regular, ongoing basis. So the industry developed a profile for sales professionals where competence was defined as somebody who could efficiently and effectively manage a transaction without pissing the client off,
right,
and not costing the company money. You know, so that was, for many years, when I first started in sales, the people who were successful, that's what they did. They managed transactions. Now, the whole idea of transactions, and to some extent, they're a lot more automated than what they used to be. Mm-hmm. People place orders online. You know, sold them a storefront 6 years ago, and ever since then, they've just been loading things up and printing them off of there. Or, for example, they stopped doing a lot of the projects they used to do that were transactional, like the company newsletter or something like that. Mm-hmm. So now, in order to grow and penetrate in an account, you need to have more sophisticated conversation skills. And to go back to what you said, Mark, you need to have a better understanding of how your product and service fits within their business. I think that this is an example of the challenge of today is there are many printers who sell direct mail. Mm-hmm. There are very few printers who understand how to help a client construct a direct mail campaign that gets better response. They can tell you the sizes to mail it at. They can tell you, they can help you budget for the postage. They can make recommendations about the paper. But at the end of the day, they don't know enough about that particular segment of business to make real recommendations. One recommendation might even be, hey, I looked at this postcard. You're trying to sell a really complicated piece of equipment on a 6x9 surface area. I think you would be better served by having a different mail format because the idea is complicated. Mm-hmm. People are not going to be able to comprehend it if on a small piece of real estate. Client, what do you think? To have those type of conversations where you bring value at a different level, that is the sales professional of the future in the printing industry, but it's not really where we're at now,
right?
With rare exceptions.
It's funny, I've talked about this before. I've written about there was a jobs report that talked about what over the next 5 years, it's probably more like three now, but by 2020, what were going to be the emerging jobs? And there were two of them. One was data analysts, that we talk mm-hmm. a lot about data in this world and big data and blah, blah, blah. To me, the data analyst position is really the listening piece. Now, I've driven this home, and you know me, I'm preaching this, that I believe that the publishing process is taking over a lot of marketing. It's all marketing. It's listen to the marketplace and then put something out to the world that demonstrates that you're listening, and then listen again. And so I think data analysts are in fact that. It's well, I can interpret it. I think that we've gone a little bit over the top with the data, and that we're now getting to a point where, yeah, the data's great, but there's still that real world experience that's needed. So the other emerging role, going to your point, was specialized salespeople. And you would think that's, you know, with artificial intelligence and technology not only making a dent in the world of engineering and IT and you know, eliminating a lot of those roles, it's ultimately changing and eliminating knowledge workers' roles now. And so you would think, gosh, you know, is there really going to be this need for sellers? Yes. I mean, it is actually, at some point, there is a requirement, there is a need, a drive for people to connect with others, and they want someone who can interpret and go to the point that you were just saying, is that who are the ones who can say, listen, we have an understanding of who we, maybe it's the data analysts who have listened and we understand the marketplace and we've gotten down that funnel where we understand your intimate needs, and having someone who can come in there and specifically talk to the product and specifically talk to the solution or the overall problems that they've had, that says, look, I can tell you exactly what you need, or this is how, based on what we understand of you and this is in what we interpret, this is the solution. So that's exciting to me, and you know, we're in a world that's going to be harder to engage. Like you said, I think you got to be a little more strategic or crafty, a little bit more diligent in getting found. But ultimately, to me, it's an emerging role. It's a big time role. Don't you think?
I do. I think that you're seeing a big rise, Mark, in like the role of the sales professional turning into an educational platform.
Mm-hmm.
You've had Dr. Terry Lowe speak at one of your events. Mm-hmm. You know, he runs the program, one of the first programs in the country out of Kennesaw State. There's lots of other programs now across the country. Purdue, where I went to school, has a Center for Professional Selling. So you're seeing a academic recognition of selling as something that needs to be taught and learned, which I think is very important. But I also think what's driving that is because at the point that the sales professional should be involved, it is at the point at which the buyer on the other side's run out of an easy way to find answers on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're looking for the power of a conversation, which is still the most amazing way to change somebody's heart and mind. It's why world leaders fly across, you know, halfway across the globe to meet, because that is what changes people's hearts and minds when somebody talks, because you can explore different aspects. Whereas communication online tends to be pretty one way, even though you can click on links and go deeper and deeper into metadata, but it's still, nobody's ever coming back with, hey, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought about this, considered this? The challenge is, I think, as we talk about this, is what does that mean for the people that are my clients, your clients? How are they going to create these amazing conversationalists who are already busy with a full-time job, because there's still plenty to do managing the transactions that come into a printing company from the sales side?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the idea of having a specialist on staff, you know, somebody who knows how to sell just one thing. example of that. For many companies, that's turned into the expert who can sell the online ordering storefront technology type of solution, that person goes out and helps close the deal. But once more, I think that ultimately it's whatever selling skills you want your team to have, it has to be driven by the company's strategic vision. So what problem is it that you really solve for people? And are there enough of those people out there so that you can make money solving that problem? And have you really thought through about why people buy your solution and why people don't buy your solution? Or are you thinking that you just need to hire some salespeople and all would be well? Any thoughts on that, Mark?
I think you're exactly right. I think we're in a different time in terms of, it goes back to what you said earlier, right? People need to step back and think. It's not just the salespeople, but mm-hmm. it's actually the organization. The organization mm-hmm. needs to step back and think. And it's hard because everything you've said is spot on. And you know, you and I, like I said, we've kicked it around for years. But the reality is in the execution of it. We have the short-term pull. And we have the pull of this, I need to keep the machines running. I need to make money today. I don't really, and so a lot of it goes back to the motivation of the organization. What is at the top of the organization? What is the goal? Is the goal to mm-hmm. Retire? Is the goal to sell? Get me to the finish line and I'm done. I don't have there's no next generation coming in. What is the ultimate purpose of the organization? And that to me is a big question, because everybody's just trying to get along. Like, how do I make some dough here in the short term? And it's hard for people to look forward. Now, I think it's even harder to look forward because it's the dynamic changes so quickly, and it's going to continue to change. I've talked a lot about this, and I've read a lot about this recently, and that is that we're in a day and age where this is the first time in history where you have to continuously learn. It used to be that you mm-hmm. could go into a company and that was it. You really didn't have to have a lot of growth. Sure, you would have certain aspects of a job that changed, but you were in that role and you became the expert right off the bat, and you were there in that mm-hmm. role, that company, that industry for 30 years. Today, you've got 50-year-olds who have to reinvent themselves. And mm-hmm. it creates a lot of angst. And so companies have to do the same. And our industry in general has to be in this constant learning mode. And I think the only way to constantly learn is what you said, and that is to be involved with conversation, to be involved with people, and which is kind of swimming against the grain, because we do have all this technology, whether it be texting and email, that allows people to cocoon themselves and doesn't offer the opportunity to engage like you and I do. Hey, let's go have lunch and you know, spend 2 hours just sucking the air out of the room. But mm-hmm. but that level of engagement. So on the salesperson level, absolutely, right? They have to be talking to people. They have to be chronicling what they're learning. But the organizations have to do the same. And I wonder how much they're reading the marketplace and how much they're engaged, and do they have little councils here and there that are telling them about where the world is going? Because to make that strategic change, to be able to constantly reinvent and to constantly grow, it all comes from your level of engagement with others. And that's where they may say, well, stepping back, thinking, engaging, they're saying, just do, just do, just do. So it's not just, you know, the printer doesn't have a monopoly on that. But I think it's just a really, really confusing time. So what do you think?
Well, I think you have to identify. I mean, what you said is, I thought of a lot of the clients that you and I share in common. You know, Shawmut would be one of them, Mark, where I feel like that part of what has driven their success and allowed them to stay relevant for might be 50 years now is the fact that that is a company that will take time to stop, pause, and think about where they want to go and are they really on track to get there. And if they're not on track, they will adjust their course. But I also think they're rare. I see this too. People who are involved in peer groups oftentimes get information that they wouldn't necessarily get otherwise. When I've gone to your events, it's a great opportunity to share information. One of the people I always look forward to seeing at your events is Gina Danner, because she always expands my mind, because she's always pushing the envelope somewhere. You know, so I think that if you just rely, both you and I are huge readers. We read a lot, but if you just rely on reading it, it's really only one level of learning. There's a whole science that I've read a lot about because I trained, called informal learning, about how people pick up information that's not necessarily formalized. Sometimes they pick it up good information and put it into action. Sometimes what they learn through informal learning is not good for the organization, but it's a lot more prevalent than any type of formalized training. Mm-hmm. But I think you have to have a goal, something that you're headed in the direction of, and then you need to have verbalized and written down your strategy on how you're going to get there, and then I think you need milestones to see if you're actually on track. And if you're doing those type of things and you're not getting where you want to go, eventually you have to stop and figure out why you're not getting to where you want to go.
Right.
I mean, thoughts?
Absolutely. It's simple on the other side of complex. You just got to spend some time to sit down and plan. And from whether you're an individual salesperson or organization, it doesn't have to be brain surgery. I think you can be really, really process oriented. It's just finding that combination. Like I said, you're a combination of one of the most thoughtful people I know, but also one of the hardest working. And I think it's taking that combination of process and thoughtfulness. You know, let's have a process, but also take some time to inject thoughtfulness into that process. Maybe we even have a process for taking the time. And so it's a unique opportunity. It is certainly confusing. It's scary time, but I think that for the most part, those people who can embrace it, that it is constant learning, that it is a ever-changing world, and that if you're defining yourself by a community, that you have a level of trust and sincerity or safety with that community, they'll continue to allow you to learn, and you'll always be one step ahead because you're able to adapt. It's scary but an exciting time. Let me do this, because I know that you were short on time, and I appreciate, as always. I mean, you and I will be together again soon and suck the air out of the room and solve the world's troubles. Let's talk. Let me wrap up by asking you a little bit about you. Give us the Linda chronology. You know, because I know that you were walking in the shoes of some of these people for years. You sold a lot of printing. But let's talk about how you got to Thought Transformation, what you're doing now, and how people can contact you if they would like to.
So, well, thanks, Mark. And I sold printing for 17 years. And I've talked about this with you before. I'm an accountant, so I tend to count everything. That's what my degree is in. And if you do that and you can bring yourself to do more of what works and stop doing what doesn't work, you will eventually get to success in sales.
Yeah.
when I reached a certain point, I think I was looking for more challenges. So I ended up leaving my print sales job and eventually started Thought Transformation, and started it for people like me who are looking for practical information that would allow them to do a task better, take the shortest route to success, and began my company and for many years did sales training until about 2009. At that point in time, when the economy tanked, I had to reinvent myself and started doing sales consulting, and that has evolved into sales and marketing consulting as well as sales training. So today, Thought Transformation does those three things: sales training, sales consulting, and then marketing consulting too. So I'm very excited about the future, have a lot of different plans that I'd like to still do, because I'm very passionate about sales. It's my passion. Mm-hmm. And I believe that marketing should support sales. That's, to me, the job of marketing. So I look forward to the next 10 years of discussing things like this with you. And but I can be reached at lindabishop@thoughttransformation.com. That's lindabishop@thoughttransformation.com.
Well, I can't thank you enough for jumping on here with me. I think it's, you know how I feel about you, and you know, I think that there's probably a very, very few people in our industry that are as passionate, as thoughtful, but also as, I guess the word would be, honorable. I mean, in terms of an understanding, you know, you've walked in their shoes. So, I mean, it's a big deal in that you're a part of this industry, and even, you know, part of my life. I just, a real sincere thank you to you. My best to Bill, and congratulations on your son. I think it's really, really cool. So I will be in touch, and then we'll, like I said, we'll suck the air out of the room over lunch again.
Well, thanks, Mark. I enjoyed it.
All right, Linda. Thanks.
Take care.
Travel safe. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Linda Bishop. I think you will agree there is probably no one more passionate and more thoughtful about selling in our industry. I think she has become a guru. She lived it. She did it. She was extremely successful with it. She's authored books around the process, and she continues to advise clients all over the country. The most amazing thing about Linda is a continuing theme with many of our guests and many of the people who have been successful or are being successful in our industry, and that is her reinvention. I love the fact that she's an accountant. She says, quote unquote, "I count everything." And so that's a big deal. She has reinvented herself several times over and will continue to do so. And that's the lesson for all of us. We need to consistently reinvent ourselves based on this ever-changing world. So I encourage you all to give her books a read, certainly read her articles in Canvas, and reach out to her for any kind of advice, because she is as thoughtful as they come. She's obviously a very, very dear friend of mine and someone that I trust greatly. So I can't thank her enough for spending some time, and I know she's got a really, really busy schedule. So I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you guys will continue to be thoughtful about your own place in this world, this industry, your business, and push forward. A reminder that our podcast is brought to you by Conduit Incorporated. You can go to www.conduit-inc.com. They are built to build community for you through the use of custom content. Custom content is a very, very big deal these days, and the publishing process is kind of that new marketing, and it's actually built to hand off to great salespeople. So again, www.conduit-inc.com. So once again, my thanks to Linda, my thanks to all of you for listening, and until our next episode, be the buffalo. Take care.